Thanks, Alistair. Yeah, one of the things, there's those little things in life that annoy you. One of the things that annoys me is that Genesis 1 starts on page 3 of the Bible. I think because it's got like a contents page. Just one of those little things that just annoys me every time. There we go. Thank you. And thanks for having me again. As I said, I'm a curate based in East Hull. Although, as you can tell from my accent, probably I'm not from there originally. I grew up in the West Midlands, lovely part of the world. But it has the sort of getting used to the accent has been a bit of a thing. When we moved there about a year ago, and some people were installing a washing machine. The guy said, "Can I have a ball?" I was like, "Don't know why I'd need one of those to install a washing machine, but are you sure you want it?" He said, "Yeah, can I have a ball?" So I went off to my son's ball pit, got a ball, brought it back, and I said, no, a ball, and he meant a bowl. So I was a bit embarrassed, but we're getting there. We're getting there. The theologian N.T. Wright, he's got an amazing beard and probably an even bigger, more amazing brain. And he says there's four fundamental questions about sort of reality, really. Four questions that shape your worldview. This is not just for a Christian, this is for every single person in the world. And he says four fundamental questions. Who am I? Where am I? What's the problem? And what's the solution? Who am I? Where am I? What's the problem? What's the solution? Each culture and each, faith group and whatever, their answers to those four questions really, really shape kind of everything. There's four big questions. And today, in today's passage, and really the whole book of Genesis is sort of God's answer to those questions. These most fundamental questions about creation, as we've been thinking about kind of the world around us, about us, about God. Those questions are what Genesis is really talking about. And in verse 27, God gives us the answer to the first question: who am I? Who am I as a human? Who are we? And what does God say? He says, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." So who are we? God says, "You're not just an accident. You're made." God says, "You're made in My image. I've made you in My image. We're made in God's image." Let's remind one another of that, or remind ourselves. We'll say that out loud. I am the image of God. After three. One, two, three. I am the image of God. There you go. We'll try that one more time so that everyone joins in. One, two, three. I am the image of God. Great. So you probably feel like you're in an assembly. But it's an important thing to tell ourselves, to remind ourselves of. All of us, we're made in the image of God. Which then, of course, raises the question, well, what does that mean? Sounds great, sounds lovely, image of God. That makes me feel really nice, but what does that actually mean? I think there's a few things that it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we sort of look physically like God. In the Bible, at times it uses sort of metaphors to talk about God, but it never says that God is kind of a big man or a big woman. So it's not that we look like Him. It's not even things like our rationality. Some people say, "Oh, the fact that God is an incredible mind, an incredible creator. The fact that we have brains and we have rationality, that's what it means." I don't think that could be the case, because some people are more rational than others. If somebody gets, say, like a brain injury and they're maybe not a rational thinker, they're no less the image of God than anyone with a sort of fully functioning brain. So it's not our physical resemblance, it's not our rationality that makes us the image of God. We're the image of God sort of because we are, because God made us. It's just our fundamental identity. We are the image of God. We're handmade by God. We're, you know, we're different from animals. You know, I think animals are great. They're amazing. As I say, we just got two kittens. They're very sweet. But you know, so nothing against animals at all. But we're more important than animals in a sense. You know, we are made in God's image. No animals are. In a sense, it's a binary thing. Every human is made in the image of God. Everything else is not. It's still important, can still be beautiful, but it's not the image of God. But that's the sort of thing, you know, I am the image of God. As you sort of said that to yourselves and to one another about a minute ago, you might have said it, but you might not have really believed it. You know, you might have thought, well, I don't really feel like the image of God. You know, when I wake up, I don't feel like the image of God. I don't feel like the crown, the pinnacle of creation. You know, if you knew what I'd done earlier in my life, or if you knew what I'd done in the last week or last night, you know, I don't really feel like the image of God. That may well be the case. That may well be the case that you don't feel like that. But I've got an illustration to show that it is still the case. An illustration for which I need a volunteer. Straight up there, I like it. Up you come. Okay. Don't worry, I won't ask you to do anything embarrassing, don't worry. What's your name, sir?
James,
good to meet you. That's my middle name here. It's a good name.
Oh, thank you.
There you go, right. You can borrow this, I'm not giving it to you, but hold it up. Okay.
Will do.
Thanks, James. So, what is that worth? So I wasn't pointing at James. I was pointing at the note. £10. Okay. Right. Scrunch it up a bit. Like,
sure.
Yeah. But don't rip it.
Okay.
But kind of
okay.
Properly, you know.
Right. Okay. There.
Yeah. Maybe tread on it a bit. Again, try not to rip it.
I'm positive.
I'm positive.
Oh,
I give you permission.
Okay.
Whatever happens, I take responsibility.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah. Lovely.
There you are.
Okay. Hold it up in all its lesser glory.
I did this in years, but probably not.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I take no credit for this. I am borrowing this illustration, but it's a good illustration, nonetheless. Okay, how much is that now worth? £10, precisely. Thank you. I'll have that back from you. Take a seat. Thank you very much, James. Thank you, James. It's still worth £10. It's a slightly cheesy illustration, but I think it makes a really important point. You know, all of us. You know, if we are this £10 note, all of us do things in our lives that distort God's image in us. You know, that's one way of thinking about our sin. But the fact that we distort the image, the fact that we don't live it out, doesn't mean that we're less valuable. You know, a bad dad is still a dad. You know, a bad husband or a bad wife is still a husband or a wife. You know, a bad employee, a really lazy employee, is still an employee. You know, that's still their identity. Maybe until they get fired eventually. But at that precise moment, they are still an employee, even if they're not sort of living out that role well. But they're still valuable, still have that image, and that's the same for us. You know, if we look a bit like that, or even if we look a bit more like, you know, a bit more like that, we're no less valuable to God. It's a really important thing to have deeply in our minds, especially in those moments when we don't feel like it. Whatever we feel like, we are. We are the image of God. But, you know, okay, so that sounds great. It sounds lovely. I'm the image of God. Great, I feel better about myself. Lovely. What does that mean? Why is that important? Well, the next verse, I think, tells us. Verse 28. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So that is our role. So our identity is the image of God, and this is our role. This is how we're supposed to sort of, what we're supposed to do with our identity. We're supposed to rule over the world. Now that doesn't mean rule over in terms of, you know, sort of like a harsh taskmaster. It doesn't mean kind of use creation, you know, and sort of, For our own good. It doesn't mean sort of exploit creation. It means, you know, look after the world. You care for the world. So God's, in a sense, God has given us the responsibility to look after his world. We're all his gardeners in that sense. And I think we can take quite a broad definition of what that means. It doesn't just mean, you know, if you're literally a gardener, then you're living that out. I guess you are. But I think probably most jobs, in some way, we're sort of contributing to the well-being of the world. I guess there'd be some exceptions maybe that we can think of, but I think a lot of jobs, if we're contributing to human society, to human flourishing, and to looking after the world in some way, bringing some sort of order out of the chaos in the world, then we are ruling over creation. We're looking after God's world. So our identity is we are the image of God. It's an identity that comes with a role. God loves us so much that he gives us a role. He gives us a job to do. He gives us the privilege of helping look after his world. But here's the thing. So if all of us are the image of God, if we could all say of ourselves, I am the image of God, that means that we can all say of every single person we meet, you are the image of God. So again, if you'll allow me, let's say that firstly to the people on our left, you are the image of God. 1, 2, 3. You are the image of God. And then the people on our right, and if there's not, then just say it to the people out there, isn't it? 1, 2, 3. You are the image of God. There you go. Again, slightly cheesy thing, but it's an important thing, to remind ourselves of and to remind one another of. Everyone is the image of God, and this is surely the basis of things like human rights. Human rights say that it is not acceptable to do certain things to any human being in the world. And as Christians, we've got a good justification for that. Because, whatever skin colour, whatever country they're from, whether their body, whether it has all the things that a body normally has or not, whatever happens, whatever they are, every single person is the image of God, and therefore there are certain things that it's just not acceptable to do to anyone that God has made. If we don't believe that, if we don't believe we're made in the image of God, then we can justify some of the atrocities that have happened in the world. That's how you justify things like the Holocaust. If you say this people group are less than human, that they're less valuable than us, then that means that you can justify doing horrible things. As Christians, we can say no. Every single person is, whether I agree with them or disagree with them, whether I look like them or not, whatever, they're all made in the image of God. I think it's also probably the basis for a lot of what Jesus commands us to do as well. He tells us to not only to love our neighbors as ourselves, but to love our enemies. Not an easy thing to do, perhaps. Why should we love our enemies? Well, because however horrible they are to us, they're still the image of God. They're still made by God. God still wants us to love them, however hard that might be. So we're all the image of God. Again, that sounds lovely. We're all the image of God. Lovely, lovely, lovely. It is nice, but it does mean that not just the neighbors that you like are the image of God, also the really annoying neighbors next door are the image of God as well. The good drivers out there who let you in the morning are the image of God. The bad drivers who don't let you in or who cut you off and don't apologize, they're the image of God as well. All the funny people who bring joy to the world, they're the image of God. The people who really are not funny, or the people who aren't funny but think they're really funny, all of them are the image of God. Sorry, I say all of them, as in that's not me. You be the judge whether I'm one of those people or not. Whatever team you support, if you support KR, the FC fans are the image of God. If you support FC, the KR fans are the image of God. However hard that might be to imagine. Every single person in creation is just as much the image of God as you, which is a wonderful thing, but it might be a hard thing as well in some ways. Some people hide it really well. They hide the image of God in them really well. Some people, you have to really, really squint to try and to see a bit of that image in them. But every single person is the image of God. Just like this £10 note, it's creased. It could be a little bit dirty. It's not what it once was. It's still worth £10. It's still, and so in the same way, we are still the image of God. We have the same value. And I wonder, does that change how you see yourself? Does it change how you see others? Every single person that you know, every single person you've ever met, is the image of God. Will that change how you act towards certain people in life? Before you do that thing or before you say that thing, they're the image of God. I wonder if that will change anything for you. Have a think about that, maybe on your tables, or maybe have a think and a pray about that later. We can't force others to treat us as the image of God, but we can do our best to treat everyone else as the image of God, as they deserve. So, as we've heard, I am the image of God, you are the image of God, and then finally, Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. Underline the, put it in italics, put it in bold. Jesus is the image of God. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, that phrase, image of God, sort of refers to all humanity, here in Genesis 1 and the other times that it's used. In the New Testament, it comes up a few times as well. But whenever that phrase, image of God, comes up in the New Testament, it's always talking about Jesus. Colossians says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And there's a few other verses like that. Jesus is the image of God. He shows us, he's the, there's the crease note. Whoever put the other one? There we go. He's the perfect uncreased note. There's us. There's him. He's the uncreased note. He perfectly lives out his identity as the image of God in everything that he did and everything that he does, everything that he said and everything that he says. He lives out his identity perfectly as the image of God. Think of one famous verse when Jesus says about himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give himself as a ransom for many. Jesus, who had he was God as a person, all the value that he had, all the dignity that he had, all the worth that he had. He didn't cling to that and use it for his own selfish gain. He used that to serve others. And that's the template for us as well. And that's what it looks like to perfectly live out our identity as the image of God. One way we could think about the Christian life is of Jesus, taking us as the crease notes that we are, and sort of one by one, gradually, slowly, working out our creases. Might have a go later at trying to flatten this out again. Might take me a while. Might need to get my iron out or something. The Christian life, we all come to Jesus a bit like that, don't we, when we first become a Christian. And, over the years, very slowly, often slower than we want, as Jesus is at work in us, some of those crinkles maybe start to get smoothed out, and that sort of perfect image starts to get gradually restored in us. That's the Christian life. It's Jesus working out our creases. Washing us, unfolding us, helping us to, little bit by little bit, better live out our identity as image bearers. Of course, we're never going to get there perfectly. As we all know, even if we live to 120, that's still not quite enough time to perfectly work them all out. But one day, when we have restored resurrection bodies, one day we will have perfect, uncreased, smooth bodies, if you will. In the image, in the worshiping God, in his very presence. Make sure I take those same with me. So there we go, the image of God. We can all say, I you don't need to say it again, but I am the image of God, you are the image of God, and Jesus is the image of God. And so may we know our identity as the image of God. May we have eyes to see everyone else as the image of God. And may we let Jesus do his work of restoring that image in us, whatever that takes. Amen.